This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to get into some NFL overreaction or reality in just a minute. But in the meantime, and we didn't get a chance to mention them yesterday after they had defeated the Oilers, but we need to talk about the Stars today. They beat the Flames last night. And if you go back to that Oilers game, I believe they were up 4-0 in that game.
Yeah.
Going into the third. And then Edmonton scored 3 goals, finish it out 4-3. I just wanted them to do well on their Canadian / West Coast trip. You've got your next 2 games against the Kraken, but 4-3 win over the Oilers. And then last night, DeSmith was outstanding as you beat the Flames 5-2. The defense, less outstanding. But DeSmith was outstanding. He got you those points yesterday, and the Dallas Stars have now won 4 games in a row. And if you take a look at it, we've continually been doing this. You've now played the same amount of games as Winnipeg. So you're at 72.
Lose a peg.
72. Lose a peg. That's right. I'm sorry. So you have 10 games left to go, and you're down by 4 points to lose a peg.
You're at 98 right now?
Correct. And you still play them one more time. If you can win that game in regulation, I really thought after they lost the last game to Winnipeg, you're in position to take C1. And by the way, side note to that, Colorado has played 1 game more than you, and they're down 5 points. So even though Colorado has been on fire, they have not gained any ground in this last little chunk of games.
Yeah, it seems like it's a winning streak for the Stars, winning streak for Colorado, and they're not getting anything there. This is one of those moments where...
And in the meanwhile, the Blues are on a tear for one of the wild card spots.
Yeah, and they can be sad all they want. You know, the...
Mm-hmm. You heard it. You can't unhear it.
This is... So part of me is like, what, about 9 games left is what you said? 10 games? You got about 10 games left here, and... You're going to go into the longest portion of your season, the playoffs. Like that's, you're already there.
Sure.
Reward yourself. Go get a trophy. Go ahead and add another trophy to the season that you could add another trophy after that. Like go ahead and fight for the end of it. Don't just try and, hey man, we're already there. Let's cruise to the end of the season and then we'll turn it back on when playoffs go. I think Pete DeBoer is probably sitting there going, dude, guys, let's go reward ourselves with a trophy. I love when Brian Ray said that Jim Nill rewarded the players by adding Amico.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the players should reward themselves and their coach. They should reward their coach with, you know what, we're going to fight down to the wire on this. And if it takes beating lose a peg on the way to it, we're going to do that too. But we're going to go ahead and we're going to win a trophy on the way to this thing. Let's try it.
So if you can win the division, I'm looking at it right now in the hopes of avoiding the best teams. So if you can take the division and be C1, you could play the worst wild card team. Well, right now, St. Louis, like I said, I know they're still behind. They're in a freaking tear. And so that worst wild card team could be the Wild.
Oh, you got to be the Capitals too. Okay.
And so eventually, yeah. And so if you can get that matchup, you could have the on-fire St. Louis Blues having to probably play Vegas. You could have the on-fire Colorado Avalanche dispatch of Lose-a-Peg or the other way around. And you could be sitting on the other side of that after you play Minnesota, who we talked about several times. You freaking own them, and Ottinger owns them to the core. So, man, you're still going to have to play phenomenally well in the last 10 games. But they got a shot being number one.
I'm looking at the stretch here, Kevin, and the strength of schedule down this stretch here. Dallas, still the third easiest schedule. Going. Washington, second easiest schedule. So they got that going for them. Lose-a-Peg, 12th hardest schedule.
Okay, so they're kind of
in the middle of the pack on things. And I'm trying to find Colorado's 17 hardest. So you still got some stuff going on. Any other team you're looking for here? Who else?
Since you mentioned Washington, I know you mentioned their strength of schedule. Ovechkin is on pace right now to break Wayne Gretzky's all-time goals record in the regular season finale.
Did you see last night? We did, because I watched it a little bit with you.
Just posting up on the power play.
Yeah, it was a power play, and he was like, I'm staying out here for 2 minutes. He was out there for, I think, a minute and 51 seconds, just basically standing on the ice. He wouldn't leave, and he was like, I'm getting a cheap goal here, guys. And then he did finally rope one, but I think that's the beautiful thing about Gretzky and everything he accomplished. He wasn't chasing anybody. He was just going.
Sure.
And so it's always interesting to watch somebody chase a record and try and do something like that, because they start to kind of fold with all the pressure on them. Guys like Gretzky are just out there just, hey, I've already broken a record. Let's just see how many more I can add to this thing.
Now, we're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. In the meantime, are you guys ready for some mini NFL overreaction or reality? Let's do it.
Yes.
877-881-1053. I know we've talked about all of the reasons and debunked it, but overreaction or reality, you would have supported the nonsensical Dak to Cleveland trade.
Depending. Yes. I mean, would I love to see Dak Prescott win a Super Bowl as the Dallas Cowboys quarterback? Absolutely. I also am probably being a little bit of a cold-hearted GM here.
Oh, no.
Whenever I say I got to know when to move on.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys, unfortunately, signed a big-time contract. And now, granted, Broda said yesterday, Dak's running around out at the Star right now. It looks like he might be ready for OTAs. So with that hamstring situation, he's saying Dak looks pretty good. So I'll take that. But depending on what they're getting back and how much it ultimately would cost the Cowboys to make it happen, I don't know if it would be a fair deal.
It would be a truly heroic run at your salary cap with the dead cap.
Yeah, and so yes, I would have supported it if you're getting a haul, if you're getting a ransom back in return. I'm still kind of in the mind of supporting and hoping. We never got one with Tony. I would love to see Dak possibly get one. That would be nice.
Alec, overreaction to reality, you would have supported the absurd Dak Prescott to Cleveland trade rumors.
Overreaction, and it's a pretty simple reason to answer why. You're still going to pay for it. You're still going to pay for him. You're still going to pay for that salary cap hit that you just alluded to for years to come. If it was a Matt Stafford situation where there's no more guaranteed money left on his deal, and it's like, hey, we kind of have to make a decision. Are we going to give you the money? Are we going to send you to somewhere that will? Sure. I would have been A-okay with that, because then you reset your clock with a rookie contract. Hopefully, if the draft goes your way, then all the financial reasons to win are there. You get the Micah extension done, the dominoes fall, and then you've got yourself a nice little five-year window to try to right. work something out. But that's just not the case.
NFL overreaction or reality? The Bengals gave out a lot of money, but they still suck on defense.
Yeah, that's the reality.
The receivers were, and I know working with Hendrickson, but the receivers were not the issue. You're like, we just don't have enough offense. Your defense is effing terrible.
And they're hoping that in the draft they can kind of rebuild that thing and just keep going. But they're like, but offense. And maybe, dude, I'm starting to think a lot of teams are like, hey, balance it out in the draft. Maybe the formula is build one side of the ball in free agency and the other side of the ball in your draft. And whichever one is going to be the cheaper via draft, use that one, and then use maybe the more expensive one on the other side of the ball. So I'm starting to think more like that, and maybe that's where the Bengals are going. They're just like, we're just going to load up on defense in this draft.
Alex, do you want to annihilate the Bengals like Corey did by scoffing at them and being like, yeah, their defense does still suck?
Yeah, I think we're about to see the first ever in history 33rd ranked defense in the NFL. They're going to find a way to make it happen, even though it's not physically possible, but they'll find a way. They have nothing on that side of the ball right now. Absolutely nothing. And it's not crazy to say that. There's nothing to be desired defensively for them. But hey, I mean, whenever I would have the chance to do the night show with Reggie a lot, you know, we would be watching Stars games as they happen. He says, hey, just score 7 goals every night and you're fine.
Damn right.
So if you score 54 points every game, if you're the Bengals, they'll probably be fine because they'll give up maybe 45.
God, that would be so much fun to watch. Overreaction or reality? Kirk Cousins going to a Chipotle in the Cleveland area means he is definitely going to be the Browns' next quarterback, because this is what social media has decided. He was in a Chipotle in the Cleveland area, and people are like, because he's going to be the Browns quarterback.
Well, he doesn't live in the Cleveland area,
it's
right?
Fair. Not as far as I know.
And they don't, I mean, I've been to Cleveland plenty of times. I just watched the It's Cleveland video, the hastily made Cleveland video with Avery for the first time. He was like, what is happening? This is hilarious. Chipotle, makes sense to me. Remember when Bill Belichick was at that Chick-fil-A and Atlanta, and everybody thought he was getting the job for the Falcons, and then he didn't.
Oh, I just assumed it was so he could hit on some of the new trainees. Gosh.
That makes sense to me with Kirk Cousins.
By the way, Kirk Cousins didn't refute this, and he had some fun with it when somebody's like, oh my God, it's happening. And Kirk Cousins responded, salad with double chicken never fails me. So, like, I don't think it would have mattered if he would have been like, nope, just here for like my wife or whatever. But I like that he was like, you know what? That's fine. I won't dissuade anybody.
Dude, he would be the next in another line of those quarterbacks that just was a bad, bad job by them.
He's there.
And Myles Garrett's like, hey, we want a young quarterback that can come in, be patient, understand what we're trying to build here and trying to accomplish. Like, that would be two different things going colliding with each other.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. All right.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I know this question is a little difficult because it's your job. So try to factor that out. And this question is for all the people at home as well. Overreaction or reality, you don't really care or focus on the NFL draft until now. So you're less than 4 weeks away, a little bit less than a month. Starts on April 24th right here on 105.3 The Fan. I've made it very clear I don't care about mock drafts until right about now, because I'm like, you're just saying things. You don't know. But overreaction or reality, you don't really care about the NFL draft until right about now.
No, not really. I mean, I'm trying to keep track of some things in college. I think watching college football helps you care about the NFL draft. As I'm watching, most of the time I'm watching and going, that dude might be really good for this team.
Sure.
But to be able to do it the way Broaddus and Wolchuk do it, they have access we don't. They have access most people don't. And so that makes it more difficult to like really keep up with some of those things. But now I think the NFL draft, you're constantly trying to figure out how your team is going to team build and how they're going to get better. And throughout the season, hell, last year, the Cowboys, about four games in, you were already starting to look towards the draft.
Yeah.
So like that's, and you're not used to that.
Actually, you know, that's funny. That might be proportionate to how terrible your team is.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. Alec? Because you're not paying attention to the season as much as you are what's going to
happen. Yeah, if you're like, hey, I'll look at the draft after our AFC title game is over. Like, I get you on that, Alec.
It's an overreaction for me because, hey, in my group chat with all my buddies yesterday, as soon as the Rangers game goes final, I say, I hope the draft lottery treats us well this year.
You know, so that's just like Corey.
No, seriously, though, like, I think it is kind of dependent on your team and what's going on that season. For me, like, the interest was always there, especially after Dak went down. It was like, oh, okay, let's see if we can get him some weapons or maybe a new guy to up front to keep him on his feet and keep his hamstring intact. I don't know. You know, so that helps. But like Corey said, when you start watching college football, I mean, heck, when I'm looking for highlights to come back with for some of these prospects, you hear some of them where right after they make a big play, oh, potential top 10 pick in the NFL draft coming up in April right there. So it's hard not to think about some of the placements of these guys whenever they're making big plays.
One more quick one for you guys. NFL overreaction or reality? The Cleveland Browns should not take a quarterback at pick number 2. Now let's put aside the Kirk Cousins either way. Like, that feels irrelevant.
Oh, because they'll run the quarterback.
Yeah.
That's the that's why they
could get a Hunter, Carter, whoever your preferred stud player is right there. Do you think that's an overreaction or reality?
I don't think it's overreaction simply because I really think they'll mess up the quarterback. That's okay. Like, that's really where my mind is look at the long history of one after another quarterbacks failing in Cleveland for whatever reason.
Alec?
I'm going to say overreaction. I think it's a good way to rejuvenate the fan base a little bit and at least get them reinvested. Kind of talked about it a couple weeks ago where it's like, okay, ownership is committing money to potential new stadium. They locked down the franchise cornerstone in Myles Garrett. What else can we do? How about an exciting young quarterback with a chance to win? Why not?
Okay, I like that. With the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we move into the expressway. It is a shout-out Friday. If you want to send those in, 877-881-1053. We will also have AM on the FM. And coming up next, MLB watchability rankings. Who's number one, and how much fun do you think the Rangers are going to be this season? Next on The Fan.
And here's his two-strike offering. Swing and a foul tip caught by Higashioka. Eovaldi strikes out the side here in order in the sixth. He's got 9 strikeouts through 6 innings of work.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We got AM on the FM coming up in about, let's say, 17 minutes. I also just saw something that I don't believe I knew before. On the ESPN page, all of the teams have a place they're from except for the A's. For the A's, it just says athletics.
Yeah, that's what they're going with this year.
That just makes me kind of sad.
Why? They don't have a home.
Oh.
Are you going to call them the Sacramento A's for 1 year?
Well, a home is an abstract concept. They don't have a house.
You know what, Kevin? That is valid.
Thank you.
I will accept that today.
Now.
That stupid joke from earlier today, though.
Oh, man.
I have some conversations with our boss after the show. Regarding that.
That's good. I'm glad I don't have to be involved in these conversations for once. All right. So MLB's watchability ratings, 877-881-1053. Now, again, this has nothing to do with like how good you think they're going to be. Although I guess that might factor in a little bit. So maybe I shouldn't have said nothing. But how much fun do you think these teams are going to be to watch? Who's the most fun team in the league? And how high are the Rangers on that list?
I mean, I feel like the Dodgers are fun. Even though people are kind of like terrified of them and everything, it's still fun to know they have that much talent on one team. It's like whenever you're at home and you're trying to build on MLB The Show the best possible team you can, you're like, man, it's just a lineup that I love. So I feel like they are, but I'm really high on Ellie De La Cruz, so I'm going with the Reds.
Okay. The Reds make a lot of sense. I was going to say that the White Sox were last, but
after yesterday,
after that Polymarket bet that talked about the return of Jesus versus the odds of the White Sox winning the World Series, then that makes them slightly more interesting to me. And now I think the Miami Marlins are the least interesting team in all of baseball. All right. You said the Reds with Ellie De La Cruz and the Dodgers. So tier one per Sports Illustrated has the Dodgers. Necessarily no, Alec, if that needs a lot of elaboration. I'm sure you could probably figure that one out.
Bleh.
And then there's the Atlanta Braves. So no team, they're probably right up there with the Rangers for the teams that had the most key injuries last year. They still won 89 games and made the postseason, and now Ronald Acuña is back in the lineup. That feels like a pretty dang entertaining team. Next, we go to the Phillies and the Mets. So the Phillies, Mets, Braves, and Dodgers fill out the top tier.
I'm watching, I believe this is yesterday's game, but Trey Turner just threw his bat off into the stands just a moment ago. So that's always fun.
Yeah, that's an excellent souvenir, assuming it doesn't hit you.
Yeah.
But another thing
to
notice.
There's Nate Lowe making plays for the Nationals.
Oh, well,
what a time.
Good luck, Nate Lowe. I liked you while you were here, and I think maybe you did not get the proper love that you deserved. But notice what you will in the top four here. Dodgers, Braves, Phillies, Mets, NL, 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 NL. So we move to tier two. That is finally where you start to see some of the AL teams. And this is one where I'm going to disagree with, although I will admit I am very biased in these rankings. So you get the Yankees, that's fine. The Diamondbacks, if you think Corbin Carroll is awesome. And the Orioles, okay, I get that. And then the Seattle Mariners are in tier two, while the Texas Rangers are in tier three. I think the Texas Rangers are more fun to watch for sure, although I will obviously admit my bias as well.
What's the most fun thing about this team, though?
I think it's the fact that they have three hitters in this lineup, out of nine, they have three that have shown that they can take over Major League Baseball for a period of time. Because you've seen that with Seager, you've seen it with Adolis in the postseason specifically, and then you've seen it with Wyatt Langford in September last year. Now, I realize that's kind of cherry picking some spots, but what I'm telling you is a third of this lineup has shown I can take over this sport for a month.
Yeah, and I think that, like, I appreciate what you're saying right now. Based on how last season went and then yesterday's start, Kevin, you even said you needed them to start 20-0. Like, you needed that. And then Corey Seager goes 0-for. Adolis Garcia goes 0-for. Wyatt Langford had a 1-for-3. Like, today,
I want to remind everybody, more than 3-to-1 on your money if you think Corey Seager can hit a home run. Promo code Masterpiece and Underdog.
Today does not feel like they're going to be fun based on yesterday, but I agree with you. You're right. There are three players that can absolutely do that. And then we haven't even seen a fully realized Josh Young for a full healthy season. I'm very interested to know what he can do in a full season now with his maturity and his leadership as he's doing this.
Yeah,
and then pitching wise, DeGrom's exciting if he's on the hill.
Would you not make the argument that Jacob DeGrom is still in the mix, if not at the top of the list for most exciting pitcher in baseball? Now, it could be exciting for a couple of different reasons. Hopefully, mostly because of the positive, but he's right up there on the list as well.
Ivaldi
right?
is everything you want, right, in a starting pitcher. Every team wants an Ivaldi whether it's their ace or their two or three. They want a guy like him. And to be a three, you have an amazing pitching staff. But then the other excitement of Rocker and Leiter. So, Kevin, I think you have a lot of different arguments, and I think we're biased, yes. But I think there's also a lot of different arguments that there are a lot of exciting features on this team.
I will concede one big point for the Mariners if they're rolling into your town and it's going to be Logan Gilbert, Luis Castillo, and Bryce Miller. Boom, boom, boom.
Dang.
That is a pretty exciting way to take a look at it. All right, Alec, where do you think the Rangers rank just in terms of pure excitement to watch this year? And then, Corey, I'm going to circle back around to the Reds because they feel way too low on this list.
I'd say it's hard not to be biased, but I'd say inside the top 10 feels fair just because, like you said, there are names on this team that people will recognize. And there's still going to be that one person that's going to, you know, get back into baseball and going to be like, what the heck? Marcus Semien isn't with the Blue Jays anymore. Like, what's going on there?
Oh, man, they missed a lot.
Exactly. Like, oh, Corey Seager left the Dodgers. Like, what the heck? You know, like, there's going to be those few people that are going to be like, huh, I want to see what they're up to nowadays. Or Kevin Pillar still in the league? Yeah, what's he up to? You know, he's starting? That's cool. You know, so, like, there's names on this team, and I hope they're going to play a lot of winning baseball this year. So all things considered, Bruce Bochy is a household name by all regards. He's future Hall of Famer. I think that they would be inside the top 10 for my money. I wouldn't say inside the top 5, but maybe like 8-9 is okay. Where I would put them.
See, and I think that makes sense to me. But you mentioned a team, Corey, and I think this team is criminally low on this list. So we talked about the Rangers. They're in Tier 3, which is dubbed Fun and Frisky,
ooh,
along with the Boston Red Sox and Chicago Cubs. Then we keep moving. They're not in Tier 4. They're in Tier 5, along with the Royals and the Pirates.
Oh, that's actually really where they should be in my mind.
Okay, should be
with those teams.
With those teams.
Yeah.
But I think those teams are all too low.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Because wouldn't you argue Bobby Witt Jr., Paul Skeens, and Ellie De La Cruz are three of the top 10 most exciting players in baseball? Like, they're pretty dang high up there.
Ellie De La Cruz is, like, taking over. In my mind,
he could be second.
In my mind, I'm like, I wish I'd have hopped in on all his cards earlier. You know, like,
yeah.
I feel like he's got that kind of potential to do just such a variety of things. Yesterday, he was what? He had 2 runs scored. He was really good yesterday too. But look at the team. Who's their catcher? Do you know who their catcher is? Jose Trevino. That's their catcher.
Really?
And
love him.
I know they got Hunter Green, and then you're kind of like, okay, who are all the rest of their pitchers? You know, like the team. I just don't think the team is well known enough to the national audience, and it is because it's the Reds. It's much like the Bengals, where everybody's like, oh yeah, they're there, and they got something going on, but we really don't know. Ellie De La Cruz is the focal point of it all, and then the rest of it comes into play where some of these guys are like, oh, they have exciting things that you can get excited about, but for the most part, unknown, because teams like the Yankees and the Dodgers get all the national attention.
Sure.
And so teams like the Reds kind of get the, hey, they're on their way at some point.
And I'm going to tell you this.
At some point, they'll probably trade their best player to the Yankees or Dodgers.
This last year will have done nothing to change that, because you got, especially for the way the World Series has been trending, tremendous ratings for Dodgers and Yankees. Both of those teams are filled with stars. And so I understand why they get plenty of the attention. And again, like I said, at the bottom of the list, it's the Marlins, the White Sox, as well as the Rockies and the Los Angeles Angels. Now, this is a player that we didn't bring up at all when we were talking about the excitement, but I want to focus in on tonight's Rangers game, if we can, for just a second, because Corey, you mentioned it earlier, and then we can even go ahead and look ahead to Monday if you want. What is y'all's anticipation level for Leiter tonight and Rocker on Monday? I realize it's still just one start, but I keep thinking about what Chris Young said to us yesterday, where I just kind of assumed that they were at least one of them was a placeholder until Corbin was ready because they needed a left-hander, or until Bradford was back and ready to go because they needed a lefty. And Chris Young's like, I get that, but they can pitch well enough to stay in this rotation.
For Leiter tonight, 5 2/3 innings, about 5.5 innings.
Don't say 5.5.
I feel like he's going to give up about 7 hits. I think he's going to have 5 strikeouts, 3 runs. And that would be an awesome day for me. Like, that really would be for him to be able to get through almost 6 innings. And I think he's going to give up hits. I think that's going to happen. And I think that every once in a while he's going to experience the challenge pitch or experience the miss of a pitch that a major leaguer is going to say, took it yard. But for him, I feel like that's a good outing, and I would like to see something in that range. I know we would love to see 7 hits get dropped down to like 2, but let's consider this his real rookie season here. And
it is his real rookie season.
For Rocker, I expect like 9 strikeouts. You know, I'm sitting here feeling like this, and I feel like he's going to get hit too. I feel like you might have about 7 or 8 hits as well against him, and maybe you get about 4 to 5 innings out of him.
Okay, Alec, the same question for you, but I'm going to add one more question to go with it as well. I tell you that one of those two pitchers, not for injury purposes, is going to stay in the starting rotation all year, or the predominant amount of the year. Who is it going to be and why?
Oh, that's tough. Starting off with overall expectations, I'm not expecting too much early on from either of them. I'm hoping for a little bit more than I am out of Leiter than Rocker, because Rocker, I feel like, established himself a little bit more last year. Leiter, you saw it towards the end of spring training. The velo started ticking up. He was experimenting with the kick change and everything.
Yes.
That was a motivated man. That was a man that was saying, I'm a major league starter, and you are not putting me in that bullpen. I am a rotation guy. I will get big league hitters out, and I will do it consistently. So I think that will develop throughout the year. But that being said, if one of them stays locked in to the major league club, I think this year it probably would be Rocker. And I'm almost, I want to say, disappointed in that because of the rehab situation where he's going to be on an innings restriction all year.
Yeah.
You know, so personally, I would want it to be Leiter because you could say, hey, we really would love if you could get seven today because our leverage guys, quote unquote leverage after yesterday, those guys aren't available today. So if you could go seven, that would be great. You can ask that from Leiter because he's healthy right now. Rocker still coming back from the Tommy John and everything. So later in the season, you're going to have to be really, really careful with him. But I think it would be Rocker that would stick around.
Now, Corey, same second part of that question to you. If only one, for whatever reason, only one Rocker or Leiter are going to stay in the rotation all year, who do you think it's going to be and why?
Okay, I appreciate this question because it gave you my feeling on their first outing. Now for their second outing, Kevin.
Okay, I don't need every breakdown of the outing.
I thought you were just going to keep bouncing back to me. I'd give you a third outing.
Just the first outing and the entirety of the season.
One of them, I think Leiter's going to get every chance this month to be a starter. I think Rocker, depending on how he does, could slide out of it. But I do feel like the front office really likes Rocker and is like, look, no matter how much he has to learn, he has the arm and the ability to pitch. But I think maybe there's still this, like, he has a lot to gain as far as game knowledge, when to do certain things. But hanging around Eovaldi is the best way to learn that. You know, sitting next to Eovaldi, watching games and talking to him, not necessarily picking in his brain, but just hearing things is a great way to learn parts of this game. So I think that Leiter is going to get every opportunity in this first month. And if he does that well, he stays in this rotation. He's a good number four for you, number four or five in this rotation for you. As far as Rocker goes, just keep him up as long as you can to get as much experience around the big league guys, guys like DeGrom and guys like Eovaldi, because he has the stuff to be great. He has the stuff to be elite. Rocker does.
Yeah.
It's just bringing it all together and growing quickly in the major leagues is the thing he has to do quick.
Now, I wanted to throw this out there quickly for The Athletic. They had two of their staff writers predict that Corey Seager would win American League MVP. Three of their writers, including Keith Law, who I feel like we like and is respected very much, picked Rocker to win American League Rookie of the Year. And then in terms of winning the pennant, 10 of their staff writers picked the Texas Rangers. Excuse me, 11 picked the Texas Rangers to win the American League pennant. That was more than any other team in the American League.
Nice.
So again, I know these predictions don't change anything, but when you hear like a little bit of buzz for Seager as the MVP, we've talked a little bit about DeGrom, maybe Rocker for AL MVP, or excuse me, AL Rookie of the Year. But then you go back to who do people think could realistically win the American League? And you see again and again and again, the Rangers are on that list.
They got to pick somebody, right?
Or
it's because they are the true champion.
Okay. See, I like that better. You're now welcome. You're playing along. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, you're going to see a magic trick as I turn into Zach Wolchuk. But also now, it's time for this.
What does this button do?
Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful. One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. If you are watching on Twitch and YouTube, Kevin was right. He did magically turn into Zach Wolchuk. He
welcome.
Is now here in the flesh. What's up, boy, boy? How
what
we doing
up?
Today?
What up? How we doing? Happy Lighter Day.
Happy yes. Lighter Day to one and all. To those who celebrate, please celebrate responsibly. It's not an ad. I don't need to say that. It's time for AM on the FM right here on 105.3 The Fan. We got the question of the day. Then I'm going to get to some of my favorite sights and sounds of opening day across the world of opening day. Yesterday. We'll get to that here in just a little bit, but I went to my favorite website. That's a lie. It's probably not my favorite ever, but one of my most visited websites, the National Day Calendar.
Ah, beautiful.
And I started looking at this weekend because I know Wooly Bully has to do a top 10 list as well during his show, so I was like, he's going to take something from today. Let me go to the weekend and see if there's anything interesting. National Pencil Day is Sunday.
Okay.
National Pencil Day. So that got me thinking. I've known some people that are really particular about their like writing utensils and stuff. Like, I have to use this kind of pen. I have to use this kind of pencil.
This is an elite, the Sharpie 0.7.
Those are great.
Ruben and I both agree this is an elite pen.
Those are awesome.
And now that I have used them, I will only look for them.
Okay. So there we go. This is a good segue into the question, which is going to be, what is something obscure that you don't mind investing in? 877-881-1053, because I'll lead things off here. I'm big on having the right kind of pen to write with whenever I am going pen to paper, but something that I really don't mind spending good money on, and I have a weird like collection of, backpacks. I don't mind getting a fancy backpack. I don't mind getting one that has like a licensed collaboration, so that automatically adds $50 to it because it's got a Star Wars logo on it or something. You know, that goes with Disney. So I don't mind that. I don't mind having nice backpacks and spending money on those that have all the crazy different storage options or have like the USB port on it so you can plug a battery pack into
and
charge your phone. Yeah.
A USB port?
On the backpack?
Yeah, like on the strap of the backpack, right on the shoulder, some of them will have a USB, like a Type-A port.
Dude.
And you can plug in a cable and you can get like a little battery pack that has it's got a little pocket for it. You put the battery pack in there and then while you're walking, you can charge your phone without having to like, you know, run a cable through one of the zippers or anything. It's just got a little port.
Pretty genius.
Yeah, that's awesome. Genius.
So do they charge like extra? Is that like a super expensive backpack?
It's a lot more common than it used to be. Like when I was in probably like middle school, maybe it was like, whoa, like that's a big money thing. Now you can get one on Amazon for like $35.
What's your favorite backpack brand? Because in high school for us, it was always JanSport. Like that was new though, like in middle school for me. Then I found OGO. I don't know if y'all have seen the OGO, the one that I carry around all the time, has every pocket I need. It fits nice and snug on the back. It's like, it's my favorite one. It has a hole in it right now. And I went to go find, because I have the exact same one I had before, except for different colors. Mm-hmm. I went to go find it, and they've stopped making this version. I got to find a new form of it. But OGO's a good, I like the brand. But that OGO is my favorite kind.
I was never really a brand shopper when it came to the backpack. I would just kind of go to Walmart or Target and just kind of pick
one
out.
You saw.
But Alec, you're right, because the last time I bought a backpack, I was thinking to myself, I don't need to spend a lot of money on this. But I've had it now for 3 years, and it's the smallest darn backpack in the world. I feel like I look like a Smurf when I'm wearing it. And I probably should up the game because you're traveling with it. Like anytime we go out of town to the Super Bowl or to training
camp.
It's
bag number two.
Right. So I don't have a lot of room to fit stuff in there. I pretty much fit the laptop and that's it. So I think I should up my backpack game, Alec. I think this is actually something where I agree with you and I should order something here.
You should. And it's honestly.
Maybe I should get the USB backpack.
You know should.
What? Ignore the rest of the show and focus on
I'm just
going to
focus on Amazon right now.
Yeah, there's probably a list out there. And you know, people do love lists.
People love them.
You might find a list of like the greatest backpacks of 2025 so far. I don't know. But it just reminds me, I haven't bought one in a while. So I'm probably overdue. I've got, it's weird. I flatten them all out. And I've got my carry-on bag for the random times, the rare times that I do travel. I kind of like compressed them all down and put them in that carry-on bag. So I've got a carry-on bag that probably has about 10, 15 backpacks inside of it. And they're all different like themes, different colors, different shapes, sizes. Like I've got different backpacks for different occasions. I have gym bags, I have travel bags, I have bags that are good to take to the ballpark when I get to do a remote or something, you know, that something that if I don't have much to take with me, just a laptop, I've got a laptop bag. Like I'm just a weirdo like that. I've got to have different bags for different occasions.
Somebody just texted in and said the OGO carry-on backpack is the one. Look it up. So I'm looking it up
the
right now.
The OGO. All right.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
I do. We did get a good text, and I agree with this one, because I used to be cheap when it came to this, and then I realized how dumb I was being. But the 817 said good toilet paper.
Dude.
There's a big difference.
Got to have my Charmin double ply.
The soft, the strong.
Mm-hmm.
You need to make sure that you get the good TP, because if you cheap out on this, next thing you know, you got a finger through the crack.
Yep.
And it's not good.
Yeah. And also, it collects more. You know how they call Bounty the quicker, thicker picker-upper?
Yes.
Or the thicker, quicker picker-upper?
Absorbent?
Yeah. It, well, not that it absorbs, but it seems like the stuff that we have in this building just does not collect.
Very thin.
And you're like, I gotta keep going, mm-hmm. you know? And with the Charmin stuff, and I know people are eating lunch, but with the Charmin, it's just like a couple of them and you're done. And the roll is... It'll last forever most of the time.
It's a big roll.
Unless my kids are using it.
Oh.
And they're just like,
"Wee!" Well, I can't imagine the amount of paper towel and toilet paper you go through.
So much.
It's crazy.
So much.
Man, I'm just having like nightmares of the 2020s, 2021s. When
good toilet paper yeah.
was few and far between. And now it's like it's back to normal. And still sometimes I'm just amazed when I go to Target and I see a full shelf. I'm like, huh. That used to be a thing of the past, you know, like that's it's still like it melts my brain a little bit that we were fighting over that stuff. That was a time in history.
Indeed.
So keep those coming in. 877-881-1053. Just minuscule stuff that you don't mind investing good money into.
For me, I got four things, if that's
four.
Okay.
Ooh. The stamina on you.
And I might be taking this from Choppy a little bit, but candles.
Yes.
I like the candles smell good in the house. And I just learned recently that it's one of the top four cancer creators. But
huh?
I just look it up. I don't know. Maybe
why
I'm wrong
is everything
about this.
Good a cancer creator?
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's amazing. But yeah, candles. And I found some good ones at the Tom Thumb in Plano. Mm. So I need to show you these brands. They're pretty good.
Potent scents.
Yes. Mm. Soap. Body wash. I tried this Dr. Squatch stuff for a while, the bar, and I was like, meh. But like now I use native eucalyptus and mint. It's my favorite scent.
Native.
Yeah. I got like a huge gallon of it for like $10. It was awesome.
That's a good deal.
Cologne. I don't wear a lot of it, but I found one I like. And I'm like, if you're going to do it and you're going to smell good, you might as well smell good. But the most important one, this comes from my grandpa, tools. If you're going to buy a tool, don't cheap out and get just some tool that you don't like. Oh, it's the cheaper one.
Yep.
Get the good one get the one that is going to last, because that's what matters the most. Those things can stick around for your entire life. My grandpa is passing tools down to me.
Yep.
And those were tools that his dad gave. My great grandfather's tools are now in my possession. And so like when you're getting tools and those can last forever and they could sell for a big money too. So
yeah,
tools, don't cheap out on it.
Yeah. It's always so cool looking through, like even at the garage at the house, there's some toolboxes and stuff that look so old and it's like, how can that be worth anything or still useful? And it's like, my dad's like, yeah, my dad, my grandpa passed it down to him and the paint is all chipped. You can't read anything anymore. But he was like, you know, this material is going to last probably longer than any of like generations past you are going to exist. Like it's going to exist that long. And yeah, and he's passing some of that stuff down to me. One of my best friends, Aaron, whenever I got my first car in high school, his dad gave me one of his knives that was passed down to him. He was like,
that is badass.
Yeah, he's like, keep this in your glove box. You never know when you're going to need it, you know? So he was like, whether it's for utility or safety, you don't know. And it's like a super old, just a little like red folding knife, you know? It doesn't, like I said, the paint scratched off. I can't tell you what brand it is, but I could tell like that was used a lot and it meant something to him. So it was cool that my buddy's dad gave that to me. So yeah, tools, that's a really strong one right there. I saw this from the 214. They said, Alec, I collect backpacks as well. I have over 50 and my favorite is my North Face Gucci collaboration.
Oh my gosh.
So you got money.
That's fancy as hell. I saw a text that came through sunglasses.
I used to
be a cheapie when it came to the sunglasses, and then I actually got a pair of Oakleys.
They feel different.
Like, yeah. Oh,
and you see so much better, like the clarity on it. It's unbelievable. Like, there is a noticeable difference in the cheap.
Remember then Kevin was trying to steal Derek Hollins and Oxnard that year because
I think he successfully did. Yeah, I saw him wearing them the other day,
like,
actually.
I forgot that I still had them on my face. Uh-huh. They were so light.
He forgot.
Yeah, Derek was like, hey, would you have my glasses yesterday? Somebody said razors.
Oh, razors.
Yeah. Yes.
And when we go out of town, so I didn't know this until this trip to Arizona. You can carry disposable razors on. I didn't know that. So every year since COVID, I've been buying a razor when we get wherever we get. And I get like a cheap whatever razor and it just rips the neck up.
And next so you know, you're bleeding. It's all torn.
I don't want that. So now that I know, I'm bringing my Gillette, 17 blade razor with me.
The best a man can get.
Yeah, it is.
Hell yeah, it is.
Yeah. In high school, I cheaped out because I was working at a grocery store making like $7 an hour or whatever minimum wage was. And yeah, I would get the worst of the worst razors. And then I kind of realized, those things are actual death. They will eat you alive. Yeah, and it's not worth the pain that comes after by saving, $10?
Yeah.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it whatsoever. All right. Some of my favorite sights and sounds from opening day across Major League Baseball yesterday. My favorite story might have been everybody poking fun at Tanner Bibee. Because Tanner Bibee was scheduled to make his start for the Cleveland Guardians against the Royals on opening day, but got scratched due to an illness, reportedly food poisoning.
Oh.
But the reason they bring this up and the reason people are poking fun at him is because during an appearance on the Just Baseball show right before the 2024 season, Bibee said that he eats Chipotle every day he pitches.
Oh, no.
So a lot of people had some jokes about the Chipotle got to him.
Yeah.
And so somebody dug up that interview and there was the report before opening day that he's sick and he's going to miss the game. And he even tweeted afterwards and said, hey, don't y'all talk down on Chipotle like that. This is not related. He's like, I'm still going to keep eating Chipotle before my starts. Don't worry about it. I'm going to be fine. But everyone was like, huh, that burrito bowl did a number on him. Poor Tanner Bibee.
Remember whenever they were blowing out everybody's colon back?
E. coli stuff,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. My wife was all eating there and then she'd come home and I'd be like, are you sure?
You all right?
You want to keep doing that?
You doing okay, honey?
Everybody else in the house is getting affected here.
You having tummy issues?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then probably the best thing that happened opening day, you guys had MJF on the show yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. How pumped were you? Were you just like living in total FOMO back here?
Yes. And I was crying laughing. It was so funny. And we're going to hear some of that at 1:30 today, I'm sure.
Oh, sweet.
But, looking forward to it. So since I couldn't be there, Ruben was a good friend. And he was like, hey, MJF, my buddy Alec, he's a wrestling fan. And, he couldn't be here because he's back pushing all the buttons and doing all the good work. So he was like, do you have a message for him?
Mm.
Well, this is what MJF said.
Alec, your mother's a whore.
Yeah. His mother's dead.
That's even better. No, don't change it. Don't change it.
Yeah.
Don't change it. Don't change it.
So that was MJF's message to me.
That's even better.
Yeah, and he was like, keep it. He said, don't change that either. So,
No.
If y'all wondered if that was just a bit or anything, MJF, that's just MJF.
Is he still wearing a scarf all the time?
We wore scarves with him yesterday. Nice. Just to be part of the bit.
You guys had a hell of a show yesterday.
It was awesome.
I did miss MJF. I think I missed like the last hour. But
it was fun.
I mean, Chris
it
Young,
really
it was just like constant boom, 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 guest after guest after guest. You guys crushed it along with Derek.
Thank you.
And I did like when he told Ian, you got to really like eat the mic.
Oh, yeah. You might hear that later today. Tease for Masterpiece of the Week.
I love it. I love it. That's great stuff, Alec. Really appreciate that. We got Woolchuck in with us right now here on the KNC Masterpiece. And now it's time for the C Block. Where are we going, Corey? Well, guys, guess what we're going to do? We're going to talk about a submarine that had 44 tourists on it. Where'd that thing go? And also, Deion Sanders breaking news next on The Fan.